from London, BBC Caribbean Report.
Cuba's ruling Communist Party has announced plans for broad reforms of its political system, but will they be more than merely cosmetic? The leading opposition presidential candidate in the Dominican Republic criticizes his government over the banana war, while Eugenia Charles says a whole controversy has soured CARICOM relations with that country. And in Suriname, a devaluation and tighter economic measures are the main conditions for the resumption of Dutch aid. I'm Hugh Crosskill, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. The ruling Communist Party in Cuba has announced plans for broad reforms of its political system and institutions. However, President Castro has made it clear that any changes will be within the framework of communism and a one-party state. So, will those proposed changes be merely cosmetic, avoiding the real causes of the economic squeeze now gripping the island? It's a question I put to journalist Chris McGreal, who was in Havana recently.
I think it's a stopgap measure. I think that the government really doesn't know how to handle the problems that have been created by the changes in Eastern Europe. And it is one of a number of measures that they seem to be trying as a way of diverting attention, as you say, from the problems of mainly economic problems that are unsettling most Cubans. At the same time, the government has shown that while it is prepared to show some form of relaxation politically, it is also shown that it will not concede power in any shape or form, in the sense that it has said the one-party state will remain, and it will remain a Marxist-Leninist one-party state. We are going to learn by the mistakes of Eastern Europe, but we are not going to adopt foreign models.
Having had to endure the U.S. embargo for many years now, Cuba now finds itself with the squeeze being applied by Moscow, and, of course, the unstable market in Eastern Europe. Chris, how long can Castro withstand this wind of change?
It can't be seen how he can do that other than by adopting a free market, almost capitalist economic policies that are happening in Eastern Europe. The shortages that are now occurring in Cuba, because the Soviets have cut grain and therefore there's bread rationing for the first time in Cuba, they've cut oil shipments and therefore they've had problems harvesting the sugar, there's a drastic shortage of spare parts for factories, for buses and all of that, are creating tremendous discontent, not with Fidel Castro as an individual and not with the communist system, but people are questioning why the government isn't adopting perestroika, if not glasnost, i.e. why it isn't making the necessary economic changes, even if it's not prepared to adapt politically.
Chris, most of Eastern Europeans' communist dictatorships held on to power by intimidating their people. Those regimes, of course, are being swept away now, but what are the tactics that Castro is using to hold on to power after 30 years?
Well, for the first time since the revolution, we are really starting to see intimidation used as a full means of political control. He is now resorting to the kind of intimidation which in Eastern Europe helped bring down governments. We've seen the secret police is much more visible. There have been arrests of students, including a group of four students who dared to write to Fidel Castro, call him a traitor and tell the government that they really ought to adopt perestroika. The government and Fidel Castro intend to try and use that as a stopgap measure to overcome the immediate problems. But of course, you can repress and you can stifle criticism, but it won't change the basic fact that people are discontent over increasing economic hardship.
Chris McGreal. At the start of another financial week in London, sterling was generally firmer. Against the dollar, the pound gained 85 points to close at $1.7035. Gold bullion lost a dollar at $416.75 an ounce. Among the soft commodities, March cocoa was down 3.5 at £623 a tonne, March coffee rose 6 to £613, and sugar moved higher too, gaining 1.3 to close at $325.9 a tonne. Sugar remains one of the outstanding issues in the second phase of the Caribbean Basin Initiative proposals. The CBI bill is reaching its final stages, and it's hoped that it will be put to the Senate vote in March. The Caribbean Sugar Group is pressing for improved access to the U.S. market, but there's strong opposition from U.S. home producers. If the issue is not resolved, the CBI bill could be voted on, with sugar being deferred until the U.S. Farm Bill later this year. Pat Thompson of the Caribbean Association of Industry and Commerce says that this would not be an ideal situation, but one that he would be prepared to accept.
Provided there was a reasonably good prospect of having a satisfactory resolution of the matter in the Farm Bill later this year, that's not the ideal situation, but we would regard that as a reasonable compromise if we felt that there was a good chance that the situation would be resolved in the Farm Bill along the lines of the kinds of quotas that the region is thinking of now.
Pat Thompson. Among the metals, 3 months nickel fell 110 at $7,440 a ton, while 3 months aluminium lost two at $1,513.15 a ton.